260 days. That's how long it's been since the last football edition of Prep Sports Now. That's 9 months, 37 weeks, 6,240 hours, 374,400 minutes. I'm going to stop right there because, as my co-host Ray Brewer would say, we ready for y'all. Prep Sports Now football is back. Happy to be here. Thanks to the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Always looking ahead, Nevada Department of Public Safety. A lot of exciting things this year. As you just heard, we have a sponsor for the podcast, the Nevada Department of Public Safety. We're going to have the podcast on iTunes, something we should have probably done a long time ago. I'm told it's going to be up there today, so you can subscribe if you're an iPod, iPhone guy.
For free.
Yeah, if not this week, next week. I'm Case Kiefer, as I said, alongside Ray Brewer. And Ray, I know you're just raring to get into the mic and share some wisdom.
Well, yeah, first off, shout out to our friends at the Nevada Department of Public Safety for joining us this year as a sponsor. You and I, when we heard about them, we kind of looked at each other and were like, oh boy, we should practice what we preach, because we're guilty as charged as texting while we drive. And I'm really trying not to. And my wife gets on me all the time. Bottom line, don't text while you drive. Get to your next game. And more important than that, get to your life. There's college, marriage, kids, and all kinds of fun things. And you don't need to risk getting in an accident because you want to let somebody know you're on the way to pick them up or whatever. So thanks to our sponsors. Now to the football talk. Case, I'm fired up, baby.
College, marriage, kids. I'm glad I didn't procrastinate one of those.
Yeah.
Not to get too personal today. But
No. It took me to 30. Would I have 35 to have a kid and get married? So I went college, big gap, kids, married.
Kind of working on the same thing here.
Yeah. Congratulations. Thanks. He might be engaged before the year's over.
Maybe. I don't know. High school football season going to be, it's going to be pretty busy time.
All righty. Prep Sports Now. Case, I guess a lot to talk about. Our top 10 came out today. Liberty at number 2. Of course, Gorman number 1. They return the best quarterback in Nevada history via stats and Anu Solomon. National schedule probably won't be touched in going for the state title. Who's better? Who should be the number 2 spot, Paolo or Liberty? We went with Liberty, but truth be told, we debated it in the newsroom. And you at first said Paolo, right?
Yeah, I actually, if it was just me and we went and debated it, I thought Paolo deserved to be the number 2. Just looking at what they did last year. Of course, they didn't play Liberty last year, but Liberty really came on last year. They made it further than Paolo in the playoffs, but of course they didn't. They just had to win their region, and the regions are all jumbled up this year, so you're gonna have to bear with me while I try to figure that out. But you know, Paolo's got a lot of talented guys coming back. I know they lost some guys on defense, but Ryan Bouye, who I probably just said his name wrong, was on the cover of the Sun today.
We'll say his name wrong every week.
Lee Griggs. I mean, that's a duo. That's an insane duo of just speed and talent. I thought Paolo probably deserved to be number 2, but you made a compelling argument for Liberty, and I'm fine with that. I mean, I think they're more like 2A, 2B, and they're playing in the second week of the season. So that's going to be a big game, and I think we'll get our answer there.
Here was my deal with Liberty. 28-27, 5 minutes to go, third quarter. They trailed Gorman, state semifinals. They led twice against Gorman, and they just didn't back down, and that really impressed me. And I know they lost a few of the Hogs up front, but they returned Capelli at running back. Nakua is going to play quarterback and defense this year. He committed to BYU as a linebacker, and he's really blossomed. He's a big kid now, and I think that Liberty, they've also got some move-ins. The Noon kid from Silverado came. He's going to anchor the line. I think that they're just better than Paolo, bottom line.
And I know this isn't fair, but to give you a little bit of my mindset of why I said Paolo number 2, it's certainly not fair because I think Liberty announced that they had arrived as one of the best teams in the state in that game with Paolo 2 years ago. They almost beat them. They probably outplayed them. Paolo ended up winning 24-21. And that's not what's sticking in my mind. What's sticking in my mind is a game like this last year. They played Arborview and just got blown out on their home field. I guess we're going to have to see what happens this year. Is this year more like 2 years ago or more like last year?
Well, the Arborview game was the first game of the year. Arborview runs the double wing. It's not that hard to learn 5 plays during the summer. Arborview prepared better in the summer and came out there and smacked them in the mouth. Bottom line, Liberty was not ready to play. This year, I think Liberty's matured. They learn more. Very interesting, though, when they play Palo, I'm probably going to pick Palo, even though I think Liberty is a better team, just because I don't think Liberty could stop the double wing. Bottom line, I will say, Jay Mitchell, remember the name, folks. He came from Hawaii to Liberty. He gives them something they've never had, and that is legit speed. Get the kid the ball in space. He's going to make things happen. And I think everybody's rooting for Liberty. August 31st, they play at Crespi, California. Any chance a Nevada school gets to go out of state and play, we're rooting for them. Gorman, Liberty, or Palo. Palo going to the Sullenberger Classic on Saturday to play Desert Vista. And Palo, I talked to a few of those kids, Brad Solomon, the offensive lineman, Griggs and Bouye, and they're fired up. They're ready to go. They want to prove people wrong, because when they got the game instead of Gorman, there was a lot of folks that say, well, is Palo going to properly represent Nevada football? And these kids have taken it personal as a challenge, and they're pretty confident, and I love that. I love when kids have confidence. I don't like cockiness. I like swagger, but there's a fine line, and I think those Palo kids have it. They're ready to prove doubters wrong.
How about this is the fourth year I've been around, and I think the first ever, or the first game we talk about on the first day of this podcast is not Gorman and Palo Verde. The game we're all looking forward to is September 13th, second week of the season. Palo at Liberty, going to be on TV that night, a late game. How about that? Is that the marquee game already? Is that the one we're looking forward to more than anything else? Because I think for me, it's yes.
Well, I think that's the game we're looking forward to more than everything else. But I think, listen, the bottom line, Gorman Palo, the only game that a lot of people want to see. Sells out every year, Summerlin rivals, two great elite programs, great coaches who everybody respects throughout town. Now, with that said, is Palo guaranteed to get there this year? Has Arbor and Centennial closed the gap? Now, remember, Centennial should have beat Palo last year in the semis.
And Arbor almost beat him, too.
In the regular season. And I think with that said, this might be the year where Centennial, who I'm really impressed with, comes up and bites Palo, and we don't get that game.
It's possible. The one thing is, do they even play in the regular season? Because Centennial now has shifted, I believe,
Southwest. Centennial,
okay,
Palo.
They play non-league Centennial. That'll be interesting. I actually am looking at another team that I think could come up and bite Palo. I don't know if you want to hear it now or if we should just wait till we get into the breakdowns of the teams. You tell me. You run the show.
I think you pulled me offline.
All right. Well,
Is it Arborview?
Yeah, I love Arborview this year. I think I guess we'll get into it more. We're going to go team by team here. This first Prep Sports Now is always kind of a marathon edition, but I really, really like Arborview this year. I think that they may just end up winning this Northwest.
And see, every year when you latch onto a team, their hopes fall real fast. It's like being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. If Kiefer endorses you, you're in trouble.
See, I don't know, but I don't remember who was it last year that I was all over.
Cimarron. Or was that Cimarron basketball?
That was Cimarron basketball.
It was Bonanza
football two years ago
with Deshaun Martin. And that worked out well. They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Last year, I know I was really high on Liberty, but that wasn't really an underdog selection.
Yeah.
So I don't really know who it was last year, but it's Arborview this year. I'll just ruin the surprise right now.
I guess before we get into the team-by-team breakdowns, let's start with some business. There's realignment, and I like what they've done. NIAA has created a new, I don't know the correct term for it. It's like 4A Division 2 or 4A Division 1A. I don't exactly know what they call it, but it takes the teams that weren't competing against the Centennials and the Palos and Arbors and break them down to a league joining with Moapa, Boulder and Virgin, who played each other, remember the three-team league, and now we've got some fun leagues, Sunrise Mountain, Moapa Valley, Virgin Valley, Boulder City, DP, who should dominate, My Chaparral Cowboys, who should play a playoff game, Faith Lutheran, Mojave, Chi-Town, Western's back, Pahrump Valley, and Clark. So that's the new league, and I love what they've done, because now these teams that might not have made the playoffs have a chance to compete for a state championship, a banner, the bling of a state ring. What I don't like is how they've renamed all these things. Okay, the Sunrise Northeast, you think the Northeast, right? It's the northeast part of town by Sunrise Mountain. Silverado and Green Valley are in the league. And then the Southeast, which is Henderson, has El Dorado mixed in. And I just think the Southeast is the toughest league in football. Liberty, back-to-back Sunrise champions. Foothill, we've seen what they've done last 2 years. Del Sol, my team, who I love. Coronado, only going to get better with the new coach. Basic Wolves, they put points up on everybody. And then you threw El Dorado in there. Sacrificial Lambs, El Dorado.
Yeah, that's not good for El Dorado, because they could probably be competitive if they were in the Northeast again, but I don't see it in the Southeast.
Oh, of course not. I mean, they have a good run in basketball 2 years ago. They earn enough points to stay in that league. If not, they should be down. That simple.
Unfortunate.
Unfortunate.
Why'd you have to do that, Julian Jacobs?
Yeah, exactly. And then transfer out. Way to go. Before we get going, one last thing. I love how people are like, well, we're going to be good because we had a good JV or freshman team the year before. And my argument to that is, if those kids on the JV and freshman team were any good, they'd be playing varsity. Because the good sophomores and freshmen play on the varsity team. JV, I like it. I mean, I love everybody getting involved, but it's on a Thursday afternoon, or sometimes they play on Tuesday, or whenever it is. Some schools don't even have enough kids for a JV team, or it's so watered down. It's not like when I was a kid, when JV football was a good indicator, when you had one kid that was good enough to be on the varsity. And people that we talk to, and they want to know, well, how are we going to do? And I'm like, well, you lost like your whole team. I think you guys are going to struggle. And you're like, but we had an undefeated JV team. So what? I don't care. I hate to sound rude, but being good at JV means nothing to me. I don't know if you disagree or not.
You know, honestly,
in Las Vegas in 2012, not in Kansas or Oklahoma or Ohio, in Las Vegas 2012.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to you on this topic just because, like you said, in Las Vegas, I tell people all the time I'm kind of spoiled because I come around for the high school football season when it's all fun and we have the games, but you're out there, you know, year-round, getting familiar with these teams, going to practice. So I feel like you would know what the JV kind of world is like better than me. Honestly, I've never seen one JV game in Las Vegas. I'm not familiar with who's coming up from JV teams on these teams. So if you say that, I'm willing to buy it and say you're right.
You're a good man. We agree all the time.
Yeah, we're getting off to a good start here on the Prep Sports Now.
Prep Sports Now brought to you by Nevada Department of Public Safety. And they case remind you to
keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel.
Make it to your next game, fellas. Be smart out there. All right, you've been waiting for it. Team-by-team breakdowns. We're going to start, Case, in the lower division.
Sure, that's fine with me. I guess the top, the number one team. If you had odds on the first team we were going to break down today, you are going to cash in big, because let's start with Sunrise Mountain. Like you said, they're in that division with Chaparral, Desert Pines, Boulder City, Virgin Valley, Moapa Valley. Four teams will make the playoffs out of there. Honestly, I don't think one of them is going to be Sunrise Mountain. They're still kind of building the program, but maybe a little bit of a reason to be more excited than past years. Maybe they could win a game. They have a lot of four-year starters. A lot of these kids, when the school first started, I know were freshmen and now are getting older, have that experience, which I say counts for little. You say counts for lots. So what are you looking for out of Sunrise Mountain this year?
Well, two things. If they get a win, the season will be a success. They still don't have a varsity win going into year four. And the opportunity to play in this league is, for them, the whole reason why it was created, to give kids an opportunity for that chance. Chris Moore comes back for his fourth year as the starter for Sunrise Mountain. And you'd like to think that having that experience under his belt, even though it's losing, will pay off. You got to remember, Sunrise Mountain came close to breaking few a few times last year. I think this is a year they do get the win. Will they make the playoffs? You never know against those four teams. I will tell you that what Sunrise Mountain and Desert Pines and Chaparral are going to need to learn how to do is how to travel. You just don't show up at Moapa Valley to play. You know, you've got to sometimes get the kids out of class early. You got to have a snack for them when you get to the stadium. And then you're coming into these small towns where, you know, Mayor Bob's on the grill flipping hamburgers. It's just not an atmosphere for SHAP or DP, an inner city Las Vegas school, what these kids are going to, what they're expecting. It's just not like taking a bus ride to Valley or taking a bus ride across the street to El Dorado. This is getting in a bus for an hour and a half, getting off, having to get dressed and get ready to play, and then you show up and the whole town's there to yell at you. And I don't think that Sunrise Mountain is going to be able to handle that.
And, not to bring up the old arguments on the podcast, but I think home field advantage is even more important in high school sports than you do. I think it's important even if it's Valley going to SHAP or else. So I certainly think it's important if you're going to Moapa Valley. I don't even have the schedule in front of me, but I will make a bold proclamation on this next team without even looking at it. No team in this division is going to Moapa Valley and winning this year. Moapa Valley will have an undefeated home record. As I have been the last couple years, I'm very high on the Pirates again. I think they're going to win this division. You look at what they have back. They have, they always kind of have that three- or four-headed running attack, but they got Sean McConnell and Connor Mortensen back. Those two guys rushed for a ton of yards last year. It was one or the other every week having a huge game. I think they're going to wreak havoc on this league. I think Moapa Valley is going to be even better, and I think the Pirates are the team to beat up in this league.
And it's funny. This is how much respect that program has, that you've brought in all these old 4A teams, Cheyenne, Desert Pines, Mojave, teams that are expected to have more athletes and more ammunition, and yet you talk around to everybody and they're like, Moapa Valley is still the kind of the benchmark of this league. Everything goes through them. And that kind of respect speaks volumes for Moapa Valley, who, by the way, Saturday opens against Blue Ridge of Arizona at the Sullenberger Classic. Last year, Case, we had them losing by, 30 at that game, and they won straight up?
I don't know if it was quite 30, but we definitely both picked against them.
Yeah, and then we went down on the field for warm-ups, and we were like, oh, my God, they're going to be in trouble. That might be a running clock.
And even the first quarter, I think the Sholo team went up 14-0, if I'm not mistaken. Just looked so much better. And that goes back to how high I am on Moapa Valley. This team, they always are just, I guess, kind of keep their head.
Brent Lewis does a great job.
He's an unbelievable coach. I think Moapa Valley, I think they're very well coached. Even when they make mistakes, I feel like I feel like they come back. If you go up to a game there, I mean, they have a great support, better support than most teams.
You've been
in
up
town.
There.
Yeah, I have been up there. I went up there last year. I just, all around, I think Moapa Valley has everything needed to be a successful program in this day and age, I guess.
Okay, Virgin Valley next on the list. New coach this year, Chris Sayers, takes over for...
I think it's Sawyers.
Sawyers, my fault.
And you also said, I think you mispronounced Brent Lewis's name, too. So you're 0 for 2 on the coaches' names already.
any name, even if I'm reading it, I'm going to mispronunciate. But Mesquite Virgin Valley new coach, Chris Sawyers, takes over for Kurt Hafen, who had been there forever. And I'm interested to see the new era of Virgin Valley football. Same arguments with Moapa. It's tough to get there and play. I know a few of the guys, Dylan Graves, Jared Walter, and it would be interesting to see how they play. I know the game against Moapa is the game of the year, and like we said earlier, at least they have somebody in their league to play against.
Right. I think that, I think Virgin Valley will be right in the thick of things there. I don't think they're one of the best teams, but they're certainly not the worst, and I think they'll make the playoffs.
I agree with you. Next up, DP, Desert Pines. You'd have to think that they're a favorite in that league. I know that DP has underachieved before last year, but Michael Sinceros is the big guy up front for them, and we could assume that he's going to he's going to lead the way blocking, and Eric Wilkes in the backfield, the tailback. You can make an argument that DP is a favorite to win state.
You could, but I won't. I've got Desert Pines second in this league. Like I said, I like Moapa Valley to win it. The Cisneros kid, obviously, very talented. But, one lineman isn't going to make they're probably going to run behind them most of their plays. At least I think that's what Paul Bennett would opt to do, and I think that's smart. But one lineman doesn't fix the rest of the line. I don't think they've got this great line. I think there's going to be holes other places. The running back, Wilkes, definitely want to get him going off. And I think Desert Pines will I think they're going to be dangerous. I think the game with Moapa will be really interesting, whatever it is. But like I said, I have them a firm number 2 in this division.
And they open the season against Cheyenne, which for me is kind of like the Super Bowl of the new league. And I'm interested to see how those guys go against some of these traditional lower level teams, because Desert Pines is a team. Remember, Case, they've had a D1 kid the last 5 years. Now, I know that's just one player, but I really think they're going to thrive in this lower level. I actually think if you ask me to rank the leagues, and nothing against Moapa Valley, and I can't believe I'm going to say this because Desert Pines has killed me before, but I think Desert Pines is the favorite. I go Desert Pines, Moapa Valley, Boulder City, and then fourth, my Chaparral Cowboys.
All right, well, I guess you heard it there. I was trying to look up the schedule. Maybe the schedule is just the big schools. So I'm not.
Yeah,
finding,
I didn't bring the lower level schools.
Okay,
in.
Well, there you go. All right, well, we'll go on to the next team. Boulder City, who you actually skipped on the list, already disrespecting.
No, I'm not already skipping them. I just said they're going to take third.
No, I mean.
The list is upside down.
List,
what do you
listen,
want me to do?
We went Sunrise, Moapa, Virgin. Who's the next team? Boulder City. You skipped right over them and went to Desert Pines.
I was interested to talk about Desert Pines.
I feel like Boulder City can never win with you. What's your deal with the Eagles? Why aren't you? What's the deal? You're not picking them again?
No. Well, listen. The first week when Boulder plays Mojave, I think I've gotten more feedback for one game and people trying to get a sense of who I like in the game and which way the game's going to go. I think Alex Kazel, who I've known since his days coaching at Basic, does a great job up there. Last year they had a ton of injuries and unfortunate bounces not go their way. And remember, when you're only – in a three-team league, you got a hard way to go. Michael Kelso is a pretty strong kid. DJ Koopman, and I really think Boulder City, because of the experience they got last year when they were younger, I think they're a solid three in this league. I will tell you that how I was impressed. I went to I had to do something in my personal life in Boulder City about a week and a half ago. And I stopped by their practice, and they had their youth practice going on. They had a ton of young kids out there. So you've got to like the way the program's heading. And, again, could DJ and Michael lead Boulder City past Moapa and DP? I'm not sure. But if they're hosting, I think they got a chance.
All right, well, there's the scouting report on Boulder City. Last team in this division, Chaparral, who you have in the playoffs. –
Don't laugh.
I don't know. I think this is just you being a little bit of a homer, but to sell me.
Oh,
why?
My
how
God.
Are we going to have Chaparral in the playoffs?
Here? I am a Chaparral. Boom, boom. Listen, Will Hernandez, a legit Division I kid, 6'5", 300, squats 400 pounds. He's an absolute beast. Antonio Thomas was 138 pounds last year. Now he's up to like 160. He's a strong running back. I think Shap's really going to be able to run the ball. Listen, they don't have numbers. They don't have much expectations because they've lost so much. But they got new, fresh orange and black Under Armour jerseys. They got stronger in the offseason. Well, they've got a new kind of every play is going to be a Wildcat type of quarterback. It's my alma mater. It's my team. I think they're going to take fourth in the league. I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Sierra Vista, who they opened with, a large school, a run for their money. Will Hernandez will be a major Division I player. I watched the kid train the other day when I was in the weight room, and he's an absolutely well-put-together young man. Don't doubt my Cowboys, baby.
Not to be repetitive, I know you just said this, but so who do you have Chaparral finishing higher than Sunrise Mountain, and whose other team you have out?
Virgin.
No way. There's no way. To give my rankings, I guess you already have Brewers. You have Brewer has.
Hold on, I'm writing them down. Go
Brewer
ahead.
Brewer has DP, Moapa.
DP, Moapa,
Boulder City,
BC, and Shap.
And Shap, and then I'm guessing you'd probably go Virgin and then Sunrise.
Doesn't matter. I'm only going playoff.
Every year
teams.
We've gone top to bottom.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right, whatever. All right. Virgin and then Sunrise.
Okay, so I will go Moapa 1.
Of course. You should move to Overton. You'd be popular
Desert
there.
Pines 2.
DP, you hate Paul Bennett. Go ahead.
No, I love Paul Bennett.
Okay, all right.
Always, I'm always getting the phoner with Paul Bennett. I'm going to go Virgin Valley 3.
Oh, first mistake of the year. Go ahead.
Boulder City 4.
BC.
You actually picked BC ahead of where I did. How about that? Chaparral 5, Sunrise Mountain 6.
All right, we agree on one thing. All right, let's move to the other side of town. And I tell you what, if Cheyenne doesn't win state, I know they're third on our list of teams to talk about, but Milo Lewis is going to put up monster numbers this year for Cheyenne. He is the best player in that league, hands down, best player in the state in that classification, in my opinion. The kid every week last year against Faith and Shadow was putting up 200 yards a game. Okay, he struggled a little bit against Palo. He struggled in the first round of the playoffs, but he's only going to be running now as a senior a lot bigger and faster and stronger against Faith, who we know they throw the ball well, but they're always struggling with speeding up front. Mojave, ton of young talent, never won before, no expectations. Western, God bless them for trying. They're getting back after having to cancel the season basically last year. Pahrump, new coach, Joe Clayton, seems like he knows what he's doing, but still not ready. And Clark is Clark. They haven't been to the playoffs since you were probably in middle school.
Wow, they've come close the last couple of years.
I love Don Willis. But I tell you right now, Cheyenne's going to be the number one seed in the playoffs. They should have an easy way to the four-team state tournament, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you broke down Cheyenne pretty well. I think that's how it is. They may be the team to beat in this lower classification. I'm in full agreement with you. Big fan of Milo Lewis. Big fan of Coach Cochran over there.
He's great.
I like Cheyenne. I've got Cheyenne 1 in this league, too.
And let me just continue. When those kids came down to our office for photo day, check out the photos online. These kids were big, dude. The Virgin kids, in comparison, Dylan Power, defensive end, he's well put together, folks. Very, very well put together. And, you know, Devin Tatum, another kid, very well put together. Cheyenne, if they could stay focused, if they could realize they have a chance to win state and to have a season that to be all seasons, they're number one in my opinion.
All right, well, that does it for Cheyenne. Let's go ahead and go down one. We'll wrap back around to the top. But Western, next team we need to break down, of course, had their season ended before it was supposed to last year, like you said. Had a hazing incident, unfortunately. New coach, Donnie Davison over there, correct?
Donnie Davis.
I hate to say it because I know Western has some tradition and everything, but I don't see a lot of good things happening over there this year. I don't think they're going to win many games, if any.
Yeah, listen, I'm giving Donnie Davis a pass this year, and I give Donnie a lot of credit. He's really taken over programs that have needed a little window dressing before they get out of the driveway. And Western, you know, basically had to forfeit their season last year because they ran out of kids. No lower levels to speak of. He's essentially starting from scratch, and he realizes that school's got some athletes. He's going out there trying to recruit some kids. Vindell Wilson, Anthony Hungerholt, two guys that I would kind of look for to possibly have decent campaigns for Western. Remember, they were the team that Pahrump broke its 30-game losing streak against. So Western is one of these teams where I say let's not judge them as a whole body of work, but let's just judge them as improving from week to week. And being part of the new league, I think, gives them that opportunity, Case.
Sounds good. Let's move on to Pahrump Valley, who broke out of the losing streak last year. I believe they won at least one game. They went two last year. They won at least one last year. I think they're going to have an opportunity to win some again this year.
Yeah. The thing I like about Pahrump is for the last 3 years, they've had Mark Phillippe of Phillippe Sports Institute drive up there and train the kids on getting faster and stronger. And that's the key in all high school football. Now, we know Pahrump isn't going to have the athlete that you could get the ball to in space and have him take it to the house. So they've got to try to find their identity. At least now they got a coach, even though he showed up late in the game this year, that kind of understands how it works. Dustin Dillon and Cody Kiesling, I think, are two legit players that have an opportunity to be competitive on every down. You'd be crazy, Case, if you pick Pahrump to do much. And I'm not picking them to do so, but maybe in a year or two when they could develop the program a little more, we could start talking about these kids in a better light.
Yeah, they did only win one game last year. I went back and looked. Had some other close games, though. I'd say they'll get at least one win this year now in the lower division, not having to play someone like Gorman anymore. or other teams in that league. Durango, Bonanza, they'd avoid all that this year, which I think should be helpful. How about Clark? I think Clark is going to be I think they're going to break that playoff drought that you're talking about. That's for sure. Four teams out of this league are going to make it. I look at Clark as being one of those teams, even though Clark, they may not have the headliner, the guy that's going to put them on their back like they have the last couple years. They lost some guys from last year, but I still think they're going to be I still think they're going to kind of be a force here, and I expect them to have around a .500 record, maybe even a little better. I think they're going to beat most teams in this league.
I like Don Willis a lot as a coach. I think the guy does a great job every year. I've been out to some of his practices, and if you compare it with teams on their level, they're crisp, they're smooth. He knows his X's and O's. He comes from Oklahoma, where high school football is king, and he really does a good job, and he's dedicated to the kids there. Randy Kim up front is a guy that's going to be able to push some other kids around on this level. Andrew Arjana is going to get some carries, and you're right, the chips line up for them to get in the playoffs. And you got to remember that Clark was a really elite team 15 years ago, and they went deep in the playoffs every year. And to see how they kind of fell from grace and had a 40-plus game losing streak and struggled so mightily was just an absolute shock. I think somebody's washing the windows right now in the middle of Prep Sports Now. So we'll let you know if when we see them. But Clark, we'll see how far they could go. I like them to make the playoffs at least.
All right, tell me about this next team. This is one of a few teams I really am clueless on. Faith Lutheran, they've been kind of competitive the last couple of years in that Northwest. Now they drop down, get to play with the lower divisions once again. I know they were in that league until 2008. What should we look for? Same kind of passing attack? How's Faith Lutheran going to be this year?
Same dynamic passing attack, same dynamic kids. I think that the new league is perfect for them. I know that listen, they kind of got the ball rolling when they left the 3A the first time, and now they're kind of back where they belong. They had that great year 2 years ago with Pearson and Portero, and last year they just had a lot of young guys in key spots. So this year with the new league, I really think, Case, if you look at the teams they're playing against, I think they're a solid two or three just based on the schedule. And Jake Cody does a great job. One of the nice guys in town that you'd want your kid to play for, because you know he runs a clean program, and that's half the battle. He's a quality guy.
Sounds good. Last team in this league, we've talked about their first game against Boulder City, but it's Mojave, who another team that broke out of a losing streak last year, I guess, with Pahrump Valley, and this got a win last year, so they got that off the schneid. It seems like they've got a few kids with some talent over there.
They do, and everybody talks about their younger players and the talent they have coming up. And is this year it all meshes together? Well, I think this league is going to give them an opportunity to get some confidence. Even last year against Cheyenne, I think they lost by less than double digits. So I think Mojave is eyeing actually winning the league. I think Mojave's a team that is going to have to obviously plan out its travel, because they're so far north in North Las Vegas if they've got to go up the Pahrump Valley. But Xavier Anderson, Jason Smith, some players to look out for from Mojave. They camped this year at the University of Utah, which is an odd spot for a local team. Usually folks go to Dixie State or Southern Utah or Utah State. So they went up there to Utah. They faced some more stiff competition. The kids are confident. They're aggressive. I forgot Billy Murphy, who's another solid player for those guys. And I'm very curious, is Mojave's young talent going to finally get it done, and is it going to equal some wins?
All right, well, you teased us, so now let us know, how's this division going to play out? I know we both have Cheyenne 1-2, but I really don't know beyond that what you're thinking. I don't even know if I know what I'm thinking. What do you think behind Cheyenne?
I go Cheyenne, Mojave, Faith, Clark, Pahrump, and Western. What about you?
Pretty similar. Cheyenne on top, of course. I'm going to go Faith 2. I think they're a little bit more set up for success.
I don't care. I hate to interrupt you on that, but Faith does not have any speed at all. And I think Mojave, if they're smart, they should get the ball in space and run for the hills. But all go ahead.
Well, I'm probably going to disappoint you even more with my third place pick. I'm going to go Clark third.
Oof.
And Mojave four. I will have Mojave in the playoffs as long as they can beat Pahrump Valley, who I have five. And Western, I agree with you. I think Western is number six.
Okay. Listen, it's fun talking about teams that previously wouldn't make the playoffs except for Moapa. Now we could talk about a playoff race the whole year through. And we'll move on to the big schools.
Yeah, let's move on to the big schools. We'll start out in the Northeast. Out of these four leagues, probably the weakest, I think it's safe to say. But maybe some of these teams can make noise. Let's start with Valley, who had a good year last year, made the playoffs. We weren't really expecting much out of them. I think they're going to be dangerous again this year. Lamon Batiste, the kid is a playmaker. Watch out
for
him. I like
Kennedy Williams myself, Kerwin's little brother. Where's his brother's number 12? I think that guy could do some things. Listen, Coach Marcus Sherman does a great job. I've been over there twice, and each time I walk away impressed. Maybe not enough numbers, but he runs a real crisp program. And a lot of people, Case, a lot of people like them to beat Vegas and Silverado in that league. They think they're a contender, a player, and they're going to be firmly in the playoffs. And I'm sold on them, too. Not that high, but I think they aren't going to get blown out at all, put it that way.
Yeah, let's not go too far. They may be competitive, but I don't think I'm picking them
They're not going to be playing in November, but they're going to – or the second week in November, but they'll play in the first week.
Sounds good to me. Rancho, another team still in the upper division. I thought maybe they'd be one to drop. I have no idea how they decided who drops or the lower ones or – whatnot, but
it was a point system based on how your football, basketball, and baseball teams did.
All right. Well, Rancho's baseball team's always good.
Exactly.
Basketball and football, they haven't done much in the last few years. But new coach Perrin Hale in there. Do you think Rancho's a playoff team this year?
Well, listen to this. Rancho hasn't beaten Vegas in 15 years. So what does Perrin Hale do? He puts a table on midfield, empty table during practice, or no, an empty case around midfield during practice so they could run by it to remind them of how important beating Vegas is. And I thought Elvin Dick was a great coach the last few years. Perrin Hale gives them a different look. Perrin Hale really has these kids confident. They care about each other. They care about the kids. Tommy Perkins, I think, is a real player. He's a guy that you're going to have to watch out for every week. Then, of course, you've got Xavier Taylor, Max Cruz. They've got some guys that could do some things. Are they going to have numbers? Are they going to be strong? Remember, that's always been a problem for those guys. We'll find out. I don't know if they're a playoff team, but I sure am very interested to see the new-look Rams. And I think if they beat Vegas, sorry to steal your thunder, then the state's most significant rivalry would again be the state's most significant rivalry.
Do they have a chance to beat Vegas?
Absolutely not.
All right, well, there you go. We'll just jump into Vegas then now. I don't know about this Vegas team. Do they have anything beyond Jay Maddox? I mean, the kid who can boot it a mile. I know about him. I don't know too much else. I think it's going to be another good year for Vegas, but not great year.
Yeah, and listen, Jay Maddox, in my opinion, gets – if you kick the ball into the end zone every time, the other team's got to start the ball on the 20, and that just increases your percentage – of having a good defensive play. They lost Pharrell Victor. They lost Hassan Henderson, which for the last 3 years, Case, as you know, accounted for all their offense, right?
Correct.
So now you got Vince Castro, Joshua Mayfield, a sophomore quarterback who I think is going to have the same influence that Drew Dockstader did last year at Foothill.
There's the book on Vegas High. One of Brewer's teams, he already said he loved Del Sol, admittedly, but I feel like Vegas is right there every year. You're always picking them.
Vegas rocks the house. Vegas rocks the house.
Yeah.
Remember that chant?
Whatever. Hey, I will say, you already gave me a little bit of trouble for you say the team I jump on always loses. Well, let me say this. Last year, who picked who to win the Northeast? I said Canyon was going to beat Vegas and win it. You laughed at me
miracle.
And had Vegas.
It was a miracle.
What happened? Canyon Springs won, so I get a little pat on the back for that. Let's just go into Canyon Springs then. They're back this year. They're going to be another tough team. I love DJ Pumphrey, Donnell Pumphrey, headed to San Diego State.
That's the only thing I don't like about him.
Our third year of getting to watch Pumphrey do some work. Hopefully, you know, their offensive line did a lot better towards the end of last year to where he had some blockers. He was doing all this with, you know, kind of a weak front up to that. Are they going to continue to be strong this year? I mean, I know Hunky is expecting, Coach Hunky Cooper is expecting big things over there. I think Canyon Springs is going to be another force in this division for the second year in a row.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that you have to separate what happened against Basic when talking about Canyon Springs. I think they got so jazzed up from beating Vegas to win the division that when it came time to play Basic sliced and diced them and won the league, no problem. And I mean, it won the first round playoff game. And so that's kind of when you talk Canyon Springs, you know, they're rated sixth in our preseason poll. And you're like, are they really the six back team? Because remember, Basic kind of tore them up. And I love DJ Pumphrey, great high school running back, has really put on a lot of weight. And everything Canyon does, I think, is going to be better this year because they actually have a quarterback in Stevie Farmer. Before, it was DJ getting the ball 43 times against Vegas and them finding a way to win. I think this year, having a quarterback is going to open up the running game. You still need a line that could block. You still need people that can make tackles. But I think having a quarterback helps out. I think Tobias Carson at fullback and linebacker is one of the most underrated high school players in town. He's about 5'9", 5'10". He hits like a brick house. Rayshawn Henderson, nicknamed the Worm, up front on the D-line. Another great high school football player. And I think with those three elite guys who are also part of our all-sun team case that comes out next week, I think they got a chance. You got coach's son, A.J. Cooper, in the secondary. Stefan Ravelis, who I think is one of the nicest kids I've talked to in a while. They got a lot of players. Is it in the right positions, and could they win the big games? Could they match up against Liberty? I doubt it. But it's going to be interesting to find out.
All right, well, don't ruin it for us. We'll save the surprise for the end of this, but I'm really excited to see how you rank this division. I think we could have a good bit of dissension. Next team, Silverado. Actually, a team I have a pretty – I think it's going to be pretty good this year. And before you jump down my throat, let me tell you why. Every year I've been here, the past 3 years, Silverado has been one of the teams everyone talked about before. They're like, oh, Silverado's going to be good. Look at who they have coming back. Look what Silverado's going to do. And what has happened is every year they've been disappointing, right? Yeah. Every year they go under our expectations. Last year especially, they go 3-6, which is just brutal. And I know they had more talent than that. This year, it feels a little bit different. You know, you talk to some coaches, you talk to people that came through for our photo day. No one is really talking about Silverado. No one's thinking that they're going to be one of the better teams around the area this year. Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need some of the pressure to get off their backs and just go out there and play. I feel like maybe some distractions are out of the way, and I think Silverado is going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, and here's the deal. Silverado, Ostolaza's first year, they win the league. They get Vegas a run in the playoffs when Vegas was Vegas, and they haven't been able to equal those expectations yet, since. Nobody's talking about them. You're completely right. Still shocked they lost the Bonanza last year. They lost their best player, arguably Chris Noon, to Liberty.
What about 20? Sorry to cut you off. A 27-0 to Moapa last year. And I know Moapa's good. I already told you that, but there should not be that talent discrepancy.
Yeah, and that just showed you what bad shape Silverado's in. New year, new expectations. Marquise Edwards is going to be the quarterback. He's a guy that is going to be more of a runner than a thrower, but I guess he could also throw it up as well. Alex Cater, Zach Franks. We'll see what the Hawks could do. I will tell you that in terms of the reshuffling of the deck, them going over to the Northeast probably gets them into the playoffs, where I don't think they're a playoff team if they stay in the Southeast.
Well, there you go. There you have it on Silverado. One other team.
Could I interrupt you real fast? I think last year one of people's biggest complaints is the audio was so bad on the podcast. And I think we've got it fixed, folks. So just wanted to brag a little bit. At least I hope.
We'll see. I thought so, but now I'm having trouble hearing in my headphones. I can't figure it out. So that's why you're probably hearing me moving around in the background over here. But anyway, one other team from the Southeast moving over to the Northeast. And you talk about interesting last year's. I think Green Valley, the Gators, they were one of the biggest enigmas of last year. They started great. I think they went 5-1 to start the year, and then they lost their last four games pretty handily. The Del Sol game was close. They lose 48-47. I'm looking at the schedule now, but they got beat pretty bad in three of those last four games, including a playoff game against Las Vegas. What do you think about Green Valley this year?
Well, Aaron Love was their best player last year, probably their entire offense. They couldn't throw the ball. He's graduated. They've got either a sophomore or a junior that's going to play quarterback. Tyrell Crosby up front is a good player. And I just think that another team that Case is likely benefited from moving into the new division, Robert Carter, Sam McAllen at linebacker. We'll see how they do. Green Valley, another team that was dynamite on the lower levels, and you know what I think about that. I just don't know if the young talent is quite ready. I think maybe next year they're going to be competing with Canyon Springs for the league title. This year I just don't see it happening. I think they're a year away.
Well, there you go. Who do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first ranking this conference?
Go ahead. Since I go first every time. Hold on. Let me write it down.
Well,
go
you
ahead,
just turned it around, so now I can't even see the teams.
Go ahead.
All right. Well,
I'll write it here. Go ahead.
Should I shock the world with my pick here?
Well, if you're not picking Canyon, then I'd be shocked. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going Silverado 1.
No way.
Silverado 1.
Oh, my God.
Just now decided. Canyon Springs 2.
I cannot believe. This is going to be a fun year.
I guess. Do I have to pick a team third? I guess I do. I'm going to go Vegas 3rd. And then I guess I'll go Green Valley 4. Valley 5. And I guess, God, I don't think Rancho is necessarily a last place team, but I guess they are.
Okay. Sea Springs, I go 1. Vegas 2. Valley 3.
Wow.
Silverado 4. GV and Rancho.
GV not even in the playoffs. Come
GV
on.
Is not a playoff team, I promise you.
I say GV and Silverado both make the playoffs.
I'm willing to bet they well,
I wouldn't even be stunned if neither was the 4 seed.
I see your argument about Valley and Rancho not making it, but don't look at Valley as being like a school that competes with Shap and Rancho. Look at Valley as a real team. I'm telling you, Valley's a lot better than you think.
Yeah, but okay, Valley maybe is a lot better than I think, but I think you give Vegas way too much credit.
This is Vegas.
They weren't that good last year, though.
Dude, they were not even as good play this year. Against Canyon away from winning the league. And they were beating Liberty in the playoffs before they got destroyed.
They were beating them for 2 minutes?
And
it wasn't even close.
Okay,
Let's be real.
First of all, Vegas dominated a camp up front. Every team, Jay Maddux is kicking the ball into the end zone every play.
Well, I mean, I admit it. I love Jay Maddux.
The defense is going to thrive because of that. Okay, I love the new quarterback they have. Pull up the top 10 and give me the quarterback's name. It's in today's paper. It's already in the top 10. I'm telling you right now, Vegas.
Every year you're extremely high on Vegas and Del Sol.
Vince Castro,
it never fails.
Joshua Mayfield, they were kids that could have played last year a lot more significant roles. Castro was an all-league guy last year.
Trevor Swinson, sophomore quarterback.
Let me tell you this. I love Tassan Henderson. One of my favorites. Okay, threw the ball a mile. When Vegas played Centennial last year, at Centennial, a game they won, Hassan and this new sophomore Trevor warmed up right next to each other, and that kid threw a better ball, more accurate. Mayfield and Castro are going to go crazy. It's a new-look team, a lot of young kids. I'm telling you right now, you're going to say, Brewer, you were right about Vegas.
All right, well, let's move to the Southeast where maybe we can disagree some more. El Dorado is the first team, and I think they're probably going to be the last place team. It's just unfortunate they didn't get to drop into the lower levels where they really could have probably even competed for a state championship. Now they've got to go against all these Southeast teams that have just gotten progressively better, it feels like, in the last few years.
Yeah, and here's the deal with El Dog. I actually was pleasantly surprised at how good they were when I went to the cleat game against Chaparral. Not that Chaparral was a world beater, but they scored 2 fluke touchdowns easy, and El Dorado came and really handled them. I think Vernon Brown is another guy who doesn't get enough credit. The numbers just aren't there for those guys to really do things. His son Justin is going to be the quarterback. I know everybody talks Paolo, Darwin Ross, and his son Parker, and how Parker knows what they want to do because of the relationship. Justin Brown the same way. Marcus Fletcher, another kid that is very athletic for him, and Dominic Patterson up front. It's just a numbers thing. El Dorado, I think 1 through 5 is as good as everybody except Liberty in that league. Arguably, depends on the day. They're not as far off. But when you go 6 through 11 on both sides and then all the backups, they just don't have the horses to hang with these guys. And it's a numbers thing. When Sunrise Mountain opened, El Dorado lost kids. Sunrise Mountain should have never opened. Now you got a crappy Sunrise Mountain team, forgive me for saying that, and you got Desert Pines that lost kids, and it's just a numbers game. Julian Jacobs takes them deep in the playoffs 1 year. Now they're stuck in this league for 3 more years. God bless them for trying. I'm rooting for them every week except September 14th when they play Chaparral. That's when I'm going to church every day and praying the rosary for my Cowboys.
Not to jump around for no reason, but I think we're going to both agree the two teams that aren't going to make the playoffs this year in this conference. Coronado,
okay.
The other one.
I thought you were going to say Del Sol.
Hey, well, for the record, Coronado did beat Del Sol last year, and you still gave them no credit. And you continue to love Del Sol, even though Coronado had a great defense last year.
They did.
They're looking to continue this year.
Talk Coronado?
Yeah, that's what we're jumping to. We're jumping to Coronado. Could L Dogs one win come against Coronado, or is that a loss too? Because I think L Dogs a clear 6 and Coronado is kind of a clear 5 unless they can upset Del Sol again.
Well, at least now I could honestly say I like what Coronado's doing. Brad Talich had always been the best assistant around town. Everybody knew it. The guy's an elite football mind. He takes over at Coronado. Is it instantly going to be available in week 1 and week 8 in the first year that they're going to get better? Probably not, because those kids still have that soft mentality over there. In addition to having absolutely no athletes, they weren't strong at all, and they got pushed around. And with the exception of Talich's defense looking good at times. And remember, they gave Liberty a little bit of a run last year too, right?
Wow, just coming out of the gates and calling a team soft.
No, I'm just saying.
Wow, they went 4-5 last year. It was respectable.
Who did they beat? Sunrise Mountain and Chaparral.
And Virgin Valley.
And Virgin Valley.
Del Sol 17-0. Del Sol
was a mess at the end of Del Sol lost its defensive coordinator the day before the first season last year.
No excuse.
Chris Marshall was great, but he just couldn't carry the team. I love Del Sol this year, but go ahead.
Yeah, I say no excuse. I think Coronado is going to show some signs, but I'm going to have to pick them outside the playoffs.
At least I like the way they're headed, put it that way.
Yeah, they're headed in a good direction. We can agree on that. Next, let's go ahead and jump to Del Sol, who I'm sure you have winning this division again. Number one team, best, might challenge Gorman.
Dude, you picked Bonanza 2 years ago. I mean, we're even.
I'm just asking for your thoughts.
Listen, Del Sol struggled right away last year. I told you earlier, seconds ago, lost the defensive coordinator. Kirschbaum transferred in from Chaparral to play quarterback. But he had digressed so much when he was at Chap. There was no way he could be the man there. They had no running game. Their line was the worst that it's ever been. And things just rolled around, and it didn't work out. Del Sol is a legit top 10 team. They're one of the teams that need to be mentioned every year. They're not in the top 10 right now. They will be when the season's over. Cameron Lamont, I think, is going to open some eyes when he's got the ball in his hand. Tyrone Ruse or Ross, I think, is another player. They had 2 kids offered at the Dixie State camp. That's all I got to say.
I do know they have some new kids that they're looking.
Listen, Del Sol's always going to get its move-ins. Don't count out my Dragons, baby.
All right, well, let's jump up one more. Foothill. I really want to say Foothill's going to have a down year. You know, they lost a lot of guys, but I guess you're supposed to learn something after you do this year after year, and it feels like we talk about that every year for Foothill. What was it, 2 years ago, where it seemed like they lost their entire team, or was it last year they lost a bunch of standouts? We both picked them outside the playoffs. They come out, they're the second-best team in their division, clearly. We fire them up by talking bad about them. So this year I have nothing bad to say against Foothill. The Tyler Morris kid looks like the real deal. I don't really know what strengths they have beyond him, but Foothill, just to me, is a program you can never count out. I think they're going to be right up there challenging at the top of the division.
Okay, Foothill returns three guys on defense, four on offense. But a lot of the guys who are going to step in, like Andre Gonzalez, and play big roles, Gonzalez is going to play DB, wide receiver. They're replacing guys like Kyle Keplinger, who were just so good they had to play every down, and they're what made Foothill good. I'm a little worried about them defensively. You got to replace all your starting linebackers. I know, though, that Drew Dockstader was super awesome last year. I think he threw for like 38 touchdowns and 3,500 yards, if not more. And he's back only as a junior. Tyler Morris, big target, good hands, going to San Diego State for a reason. And I think the combo could keep them in games. I do worry about them defensively. I know that by saying this, I'm sure I'm going to fire them up. But it's going to be interesting to see where they wind up.
I meant to mention Dockstader in the opening too. I just slipped out of my mind. Once you've been doing this for an hour, tends to happen.
55 minutes. We're getting there.
Foothill, awfully good. I think they're going to be great to watch this year. Just like you said, defensively, some questions. That's where they're going to need to plug some holes. How about we just go ahead and start talking about the battle for Boulder Highway Basic? Let's jump over to Basic. I mean, does it get much better than the duo of Andre Johnson and Devontae Boyd? I know you wrote about him. Maybe it's going to run sometime in the next week. But
Monday.
I mean, you gotta love starting your team with those two guys.
Yeah, I think Andre now is a junior, and he's going to do everything: run the ball, catch the ball, throw the ball. He's their kicker as well, and he's already got an offer from Utah State. Devontae Boyd, and both of them put some good bulk on. Devontae Boyd, big UNLV recruiting target. Having those two guys in the field at the same time, who are you going to double? Somebody's always going to be open. They both have pretty good speed. And I was at Basic today, actually, watching a play, and their defense was a lot better than I thought. And that, I think, gives some optimism. I really like Basic this year. I think they're seventh in our preseason poll. And I think they silenced critics by what they did last year at Canyon Springs in the playoffs. Listen, that's a real tough league. Every week, Case, is going to be a battle, even when you play Coronado. And 2 through 4, because Liberty is a clear one, you're going to get a good game.
I'm laughing when you say silence critics, because I think you may mostly mean yourself. You have been Basic's biggest critic over the last few years.
Haterade!
Looks like you were even on the boat a little bit. I think defensively has been some of their problems the last couple of years. It seems like they have one or two games where they just give up a ton of points and kind of stunt their momentum. I think they're going to be better on that side of the ball this year. And, of course, like all these other teams, looking forward to seeing what Basic has in store for us.
Anthony Owens, Mike Roberts, Ian Bates, they're going to play decent defense. You know, this is a team that lost to Coronado 2 years ago. Anytime you pat them on the back and you tell them you're doing good, they shock you and they lose, and that's what I can't stand about
it. How about this? They've lost, I think, three straight to rival Foothill. I mean, I know they have the Green Valley rivalry too, but losing three straight to a rival, that's never good.
Including last year's semis.
Yeah, including last year's semis. So they'll be looking to get off of that. They also lost to Green Valley last year, so not a good year in rivalries for Basic. Anyway, in the Southeast, I think we saved the best for last. Liberty, we talked about them at the beginning of the podcast, maybe the second best team, maybe the third best team in the whole area. I'm looking for big things out of Liberty. We know that they have the two guys that have played for 4 years at the top. Nico Capelli at running back is just an unbelievable player. Kai Nakua has come along to play at a very high level on both sides of the ball. I mean, they're loaded from top to bottom, and they have some transfers in. You know, we're going to see big things out of Liberty.
We are. Remember, Nico Capelli is the school's all-time leading rusher only, you know, through 3 years. Nakua, I think his growth, it makes him a legitimate defensively. Jay Mitchell, the transfer from Hawaii, who I already mentioned, is going to give them some speed. And, you know, Liberty, I think, with the move-ins, they got a few more kids in addition to the noon kid from Silverado. I think it makes them legitimate players. The fact that they didn't back down against Gorman really stood out to me last year. We'll be talking about Liberty probably every week and their great performances. I do worry that maybe we're putting Liberty on too high of a pedestal. I mean, they did lose, you know, PJ Tal up front. They did lose you know, Jordan Capelli. They did lose Kemo Seau. Three big guys to replace.
Right. All right. Well, I'll just get right to it. I've got Liberty, Basic, Foothill, Del Sol, and as I already said, Coronado 5 and Eldorado 6. Are you going to go exact? I think you're either going to go exactly with me, or you're going to be the homer that you are living in the Del Sol school district and put Del Sol at something ridiculous like 2.
I'm going Liberty, Basic, Del Sol Dragons.
Oh, so we're very close.
Foothill, Coronado, and Eldog.
So the only difference we have in this league is I have Foothill, Del Sol. You have Del Sol, Foothill. I never thought I'd see the day where you picked Basic to be the second best in anything.
I know. I was that
impressed. Unless it was a two-team league.
I was that impressed today at practice.
All right. Well, let's get to the final two divisions, and then we promise we won't run this long normally.
Going into the second hour here.
Yeah, this first one's always really long. But let's go ahead and go to the Northwest. Of course, the podcast is presented to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel.
Don't and text when you drive.
You certainly don't want to text when you drive when you're heading up to Shadow Ridge, because that is a trek.
I don't care where you're coming from. Going to Shadow Ridge is an absolute train wreck waiting to go off the tracks.
Wow. All right. Well, Shadow Ridge, what about the football team? Is that football team going to be a train wreck this year, or are they going to be more like a high-speed rail?
Well, Frank Tuzza is a guy who had some minor success when he was the coach at Eldorado. Was at Shadow as their baseball coach, and then last minute last year had to take over. The team just didn't get in the weight room, had no off season, and they got pushed around pretty good. I think everybody saw it. Jay Henderson, Ryan Johnson, give those guys an opportunity, and let's see how they improve. Not expecting much from them, but I think last year how bad they were was just a product of Frank getting there too late and having no chance to get stronger. One of the weaker teams in town.
Yep, 0-9 last year, of course, disappointing, and it looks like Shadow Ridge may struggle again this year, but really, I think you call it a successful year if you see any signs of improvement and building a program over there. Let's get to the perennial power next in the Northwest, Palo Verde. They've won it the last 2 years. I think they've won it, you know, maybe 6 out of the last 7, 7 out of the last 8, something ridiculous like that. I know you think Palo Verde is going to do it again. Tell me what you like about the Panthers, beyond the obvious, who we already mentioned. Bouye and Griggs. I mean, that's a great place to start. But who else do you like on this team?
Well, I like here's what I like. I like that Paolo does it right. They lift. They watch film. They've got a true program there, and it's a testament to the coaches. This year, the double wing offense that we know and love, they're mixing it up a little. They've added in some plays to get some athletes the ball in space. And I like how they looked in the mirror and they said, listen, we're not getting past Gorman. How could we do it? What could we do? And they said, hey, we've got some athletes. Let's get the athletes the ball in space and see what happens. Parker Rost, I mentioned him, the coach's kid. He's a junior. He's bigger and stronger. Last year had some hard times making some throws just because of his size. I think anytime our boy Ryan Bouye gets the ball, they have an opportunity to do something good. I have no reason to think that Paolo's not going to be back, and I look forward to seeing this redefined offense in action.
Yeah, I think Parker Ross is going to be have a big breakout year. Guy, making me feel old. My two of my favorite players in town 3 years ago when they were sophomores, we just talked about Ryan Bouye and Devontae Boyd, now seniors, all grown up, members of the All-Sun team. I'm looking for big things out of both those guys, not to go back to the Southeast, but that just brought me back a little bit. Let's go next to Spring Valley now in the Northwest. I didn't see that. Did you do a story on the midnight practice this year? That's like a staple. You weren't out there this year?
Well, I mean, how many times could you write that story?
Wow. Can't even go visit the Grizzlies.
I would have liked to. Literally, besides that midnight practice, I think they want to be known more for practicing at midnight. Listen, I've said this. Do I say this every year about Spring Valley? They've got a ton of athletes walking around there. It's only a matter of time before they get on the field together. Armando Castillo, Brandt, Berglund are two guys that come to mind. We'll see what happens, Case, with Spring Valley. Thankfully, they're in the league with Shadow Ridge.
So you're saying they're only going to get one win, in other words?
I'm saying there's a good chance that Spring Valley doesn't make the playoffs.
All right. Well, Spring Valley, we'll get to another team they're probably going to be sparring with. Sierra Vista, who last year actually showed some signs that they were coming around. They've been kind of at the bottom for the last few years, I think the last 2 years. Last year they won some games. They have some young athletes. I know Tim Jenkins is a guy to look out for, maybe one of the under-the-radar guys in town. I think Sierra Vista is going to be competitive this year. I think it'll be interesting to see them match up with some of those other teams at the bottom of this division. And I would look out. The Mountain Lions could surprise some people this year. They might be a little bit of a sleeper.
Michael Dominick, Tim Jenkins, is it enough to get through a new quarterback this year? We'll find out. They are a sleeper. Could they sneak up and get the fourth spot? Not much of a reward because you get Gorman in the first round. Should be interesting between Shadow, Sierra, and Spring.
Should be Durango next. I'll tell you what, Durango, Marcus Williams, Ari McQuaig, those guys are going to do some big things with the ball in their hands. I guess the big question is, can they challenge the top of the division, which is Palo Verde and Arborview? Coach Gerber over there now, we know he does a great job. I didn't even notice him when we were at the banquet. I was like, who's Durango's coach? And you were like, you know Gerber, right? And I was like, well, yeah, but he's lost like 75 pounds or something, so I didn't realize him. I think Durango is hungry over there, no pun intended. I think that they're really going to want to bounce back from kind of a disappointing year last year, and I'm excited to see Durango.
Yeah, last year, you know, Marcus Williams only played three games after transferring from Gorman. He's, you know, speed and power, best in the nation, according to the Nike Spark testing. To see him get the ball a lot, McQuaig, I think, is a great high school player. He's got one college offer from New Mexico State. He'll play linebacker as well. Gene Germain is big. He's going to get the rock a few times. I think Gerber's going to run it. They're going to try to pound it down your throat with these three great players. Don't forget about Scott Martinez. When he got hurt last year at quarterback, I think the wheels kind of came off a little bit.
I forgot about that. That's a good point, Brewer.
He'll be back. I got Durango as number 10 in the preseason poll, and I think they're gonna be able to put some fight onto some people. They're gonna have to have a lot of guys play both ways because they'll be pretty thin. But if there's a year that they're gonna win, it has to be this year. And remember, Gerber is a lot to prove after his unharmonious exit from Green Valley.
Durango, we should mention, does have a tough schedule. They open at Bonanza, who I know you're kind of high on. They have Centennial at Basic, at Valley, and then, of course, Arborview and Palo in the division. I think they're going to kind of be the underdogs in a lot of those games, but if any of those teams, any of the really good teams, Centennial, Basic, Palo, Arborview, they're probably the underdog. And if any of those teams sleep on them, they're in trouble because Durango, I think, is going to knock off at least one team we wouldn't expect them to this year. I think they are that good. They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs as well. So let's bounce to Arborview. I teased it in the beginning. Listen, I'm not big into cliches. I'm not big into what coaches say. But what you always hear time and time and time again is coaches say everything starts up front. Well, if everything starts up front, Arborview not only has Elijah George, who is the best lineman in the city, but they also have Steven Davis, another kid that's just a great blocker, another big guy. I really think Arborview is going to be good this year. I think they're going to open holes. Donnie Gaskin, this kid has been electric for the last 2 years. He's a senior this year. Arborview, I'm going with the Aggies. Right now, I'm telling you, I think the Aggies are going to have a great year. I can't wait to get out and look at this team.
Yeah, Arborview does a great job in the offseason. I've been there when they lift. It's very impressive.
That was my other point, and you took it. They have such a good offseason program. I remember last year all the kids, they came out so hot because they just looked like they were better conditioned than everyone. You can tell they get in the weight room. They do their conditioning work.
No doubt about it. I do worry they lost their quarterback. Henry Hoffman moved to New York. They got the Park twins in, though. Rasheem is going to be the quarterback. You obviously don't need to throw much in the Arborview double wing offense, but eventually you do need to pass if you're behind. I think Arborview, perennial top five, 19-5 the last 2 years. However, still haven't beaten Palo or Gorman, which all those losses are. I think eventually they need to get over that hump.
I agree, and I think they have a good chance this year. Well, why don't you go first this year in this one? Pick the division. Tell me how it's going.
Palo Verde 1, Arborview 2. Ironically, they play the last week of the year, so I think that'll be good for argument's sakes. Durango, number 3. I think that's pretty clear cut. Expect no arguments. And then you got a coin?
I don't, actually.
I'll go Sierra Vista, Shadow Ridge, and Spring Valley.
Spring Valley last?
Spring Valley last.
Wow. All right. Well, we have a little bit of a dissension here. I'm going Arborview 1. I already told you I think they're going to do it this year. Canyon Springs was my upset pick last year. It came through. Arborview this year.
Miracle. Miracle.
Palo is going to be at 2.
Okay. Well, at least they're at 2. I mean, they've only lost what? 2 games in 2. Go ahead.
Durango 3. Okay. I think they're only going to lose 1 game this year, but well, maybe 2, so I'm going to pick Liberty against them, too.
Okay.
I'm going Sierra Vista 4, too. I thought I'd be going out on a limb, but of course you did.
Uh-huh.
So Sierra Vista 4, definitely Spring Valley 5. I think that Spring Valley's program right now is ahead of where Shadow Ridge's is. And okay. Spring Valley could easily get the 4. We should mention last year they shut out Sierra Vista,
okay.
And they'll be playing it again. That's going to be a really important game to see who gets to play Gorman in the first round of the playoffs. We're down to the Southwest. I said Gorman, so let's start with them. Everyone knows they're going to win the state championship. They've got tons of D1 kids. What stands out to you on this team? I guess a better question is, what doesn't stand out to you? Is this a team that has any weaknesses?
Well, it's just the overall program, but look at the defensive line. You've got Zach Singer, Isaiah Nakua, Jake Smirk, and I'm forgetting one other, and I feel so bad. I mean, they have like 4 returning legit defensive linemen. Defensive backfield, Justin Sweet. Of course, Solomon, 4-year quarterback. Ryan Smith, all those numbers. Jameer Tillman, scholarship offers. Nate Starks, Jr., Oklahoma and Texas, scholarship offer. It's what they've built over there, the great players that they have, and Gorman is definitely the team everybody's going to have to chase and get. Very interested to see how they do in their national games. We'll talk, folks, more on Gorman next week. I know a lot of Gorman faithful tune into us, but Gorman opens on ESPN August 24th against Good Counsel of Maryland. We'll be heavy breaking down that game and more on Gorman as well. But clearly they're the team everybody's trying to beat.
The thing that stands out to me is they lose the best running back in the state, right, from
yes.
last year. And guess what? Guess who they have back? Nathan Starks, who probably is going to be the best running back in the state. Different guy, different type of running back, but Starks, you're not going to lose anything in the running game, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
The result will be the same.
So we're breaking down the Southwest here on Prep Sports Now, presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Next team after Gorman, how about Legacy? Yes, they are division mates now with Bishop Gorman.
Yeah.
They've got some kids over there. They've got a chance to return to the playoffs.
I love Legacy is in the Southwest. Legacy, if you've ever been there, you go to the Speedway and you turn right and you're like there, for whatever it's worth. Randy Ricks, Division I player, on the anchor in the defense for Legacy. And I don't know, did you see that kid when he came in?
I did.
Randy Ricks? He's put together. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, it's what could they do offensively is my thing. I know, Case, that they're going to be good in the defense with Randy kind of anchoring the way, but do they have anybody that could get through and do some things for them when they've got the rock on their side? You got guys like, you know, Joe Murray and LaMarcus Williams, who are also very well put together. And we'll see how they go. I think that a lot of people are high on Legacy, and I'm not going to say they're not going to not be good because I think they will have a winning record.
Well, good to see some of these old school Northwest games will still count for division play because the next team, Cimarron Memorial, also coming to the Southwest. Been a down couple of years, but I know the Cimarron people over there think they've got a team that can bounce back this year.
Yeah, they lose Taz Tapai to Rancho, which I think is a semi-big blow for those guys. But, you know, Cimarron, Aaron Manu, Justin Davis, they're going to run the ball. They're not going to turn around from what they do. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to be physical. And they're old school. Greg Spencer started that. Rest in peace, coach. And it's been continued by John Parcells. And Cimarron's a team that I'm never going to say is going to get blown out because I got a lot of respect for what they do over there.
Yeah, looking back last year, maybe I shouldn't have characterized it as bad either. They went 6-4, and they lost by Palo by 2 touchdowns, which I guess USA Palo won that game easily. But every other game was so close. Cheyenne, they lost in overtime. Centennial, they lost by 2. We're so high on Centennial. Cimarron almost beat them last year. They beat Legacy, and they lost to Arborview. So I think maybe some people are sleeping on Cimarron that shouldn't be.
I agree with you.
All right, well, we'll get to the team that everyone, I think, unanimously would have in their top five this year, Centennial, course led by Trajan Peely, the BYU-bound defensive end. Centennial, I mean, what can you say? They're going to be awfully good. I think they're going to be favored in most of their games other than that regular season tilt with Gorman.
Yeah, Chris Johnson, Cody Newton, Austin Turley. Centennial case, the numbers they have over there, just makes them instantly good. When you have that many kids being able that are quality and being able to help as backup, and you know, with the exception of tripping up against Vegas there in the first week of the season, you know, they played good every week. They should have beat Palo. Palo got lucky there at the end
in the playoffs.
This is a team that's caught a lot of good players, and We're gonna see it come out. I really like Centennial, and I was very tempted, very, very tempted to put them ahead of Arbor in the poll.
Yeah, because Palo blew them out the first time they played, had trouble the second time. What I want to know is who does Centennial's schedule for the second straight year? This is absolutely brutal to start the year. Last year they start 0-3. They lost to Las Vegas, I think, in a really good game you may or may not have covered.
I was there.
You were there. All right, then they go to Arborview. I was there. Arborview won. If I remember right, Arborview won pretty easily, even though it was only a touchdown. Then they go to Palo Verde and get blown out, like I said. All right, so you think, yeah, once every few years we're going to start that hard. Well, now look what they have to do this year. They host Palo Verde to open the season. Then they go to Durango. Then at Shadow Ridge. Okay, you have a breather there. But still, 3 out of the first 4 weeks, then you have Arborview.
Yeah.
I mean, this team could still be one of the 5 best teams in town, or 10 best teams in town, and be 1-3, potentially. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's
and they host Gorman before it's all said and done.
I mean, yeah, this schedule is unbelievable. I like Centennial a lot, but I think best case scenario, they start 2-2 in those 4 games.
I'm really interested to see Centennial Gorman, because we've seen how Gorman handles the double wing and what they've done to Palo and Arbor. For the double wing to be successful, you've got to be stronger up front. Gorman and Palo, I mean, Palo and Arborview clearly lost that battle multiple times. Well, here's a Centennial team that doesn't run the double wing, a Centennial team that could pass, and a Centennial team that's going to be a lot stronger than you think. Now, I'm not saying they're going to beat Gorman, but I'm very curious to see how that game's going to work out.
For sure. The last two teams in this division, two teams sticking in the Southwest, Desert Oasis and Bonanza, both playoff teams last year. These two, I don't know why I'm grouping them together, but
combine them for once.
Tell
right?
me about both of them. I mean, who's better out of these two? They look pretty equal on paper to me.
Yeah, you know, Colton Bennion, Brett Doyle at Bonanza, I think are going to keep them in the game. Of course, I'm sorry.
You didn't even mention the first kid on Bonanza you mentioned isn't Javion Taylor.
I'm sorry. The
track star / one of the fastest guys in town.
You're right.
We'll go down and name half the roster before we get to Taylor.
I'm sorry. Javion Taylor, probably the best non-Gorman player in the league. Is that safe to say? Dependable.
I'd probably take, at this point, I'd probably take Peely.
Javion Taylor is going to score some touchdowns for you. I like him. Austin Rowe is a very dependable kicker. He might have a Jay Maddox impact with getting the ball into the end zone. Brett Doyle, how could he sling it around? New coach. Chad Dobar over at Bonanza. So Sean Dupree not there anymore. How does Javion Taylor react to the new coaching style? We'll find out. Very, very, very curious with this team. I know they don't have the horses that Centennial does or the depth, but I think 1-3 or 1-5, like I said, they could hang with anybody in town.
All right, well, then just go ahead and get us right into Desert Oasis. What do you think about the Diamondbacks?
Desert Oasis is still looking for the first playoff win in school history. I think that, you know, what happened to them last year against Centennial was an eye-opener. They'll pretty much tell you that they got out-muscled against Centennial, and they lost at home back-to-back years in the playoffs. Believe it or not, Devin Fortenberry is still on Desert Oasis. I think he's like a 9-year senior. I think we've been talking about that kid forever. But
I think that kid was in high school when I was.
Yeah. Anyways, he's a feature back, and he's going to have a chance to do what he does. I know that Desert Oasis, when the job was open there, it was highly sought after. They've got a lot of kids up there. We'll see how it could be pieced together. Again, plumping the Centennial tape, and you know what you need to work on. You got to get stronger. But it's that simple.
If I'm Desert Oasis and Bonanza, I'm more upset than any other school just about with this new alignment. Because, look, if this would have stayed the same as last year, those two teams are fighting potentially to even get as high as number 2 in Gorman Southwest. Now you bring these Northwest teams over, and looking over the standings, it's very possible that Desert Oasis and Bonanza miss the playoffs, even though they're certainly better than some of the same teams in their position in the other one. I think they're both better than Sierra Vista, Spring Valley, and Shadow Ridge, but one of those teams is going to make the playoffs, so I think it's kind of disappointing for those bunches. But you're already jotting it down. I can see it. No one else can, though, so tell me your standings.
Gorman, Centennial, Legacy, Cimarron, Bonanza, and Dio.
All right, I am going to go a little bit different. Gorman 1, Centennial 2. I think I would be stunned if it's any other result than that. I'm going Cimarron 3. I think they're more all-around better than Legacy. I'm going Legacy in the playoffs at 4, DO 5, and I hate to do it because you know I'm a big fan of Javion Taylor, but Bonanza 6.
I mean, best player on the field won't take last in the league.
Well, we'll see. We're you want to wrap it up? I was going to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
I was going to wrap it up with one more note. If you made it this far, you should clearly be following us on Twitter at least. I'm at Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer 21. We'll be on Twitter. We love to talk high school football. Come say hi to us. Tell us you listen. Don't be shy. I loved when we were here at the media day we had here. A bunch of kids said they like to listen to the podcast. I'm sure more did. They could have talked to us.
Download
Don't forget, talk
iTunes.
To us. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Woo!